It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As you dig out, we get tips on how to help our trees emerge from winter with a preview of spring tree care. Call in with your questions for the arborists about trees in your landscape and what you wonder about. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mike Micklig is city forester for Appleton, in the role for nearly 30 years. Mike, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Brianna Frank here as well, owns Tree Health Management in Madison and is the Wisconsin Arborist Association's editorial committee chair. Brianna, welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with you, Brianna, acknowledging the snowstorm that has swept across our state in these recent hours. How does the weight of a heavy March snowfall affect trees?
Well, it depends. So trees do adapt to things like snow load and wind load. They actually build their growth rings to handle different types of loads. So for the most part, deciduous trees that are maintained in the urban environment aren't going to have a problem with snow loading. Sometimes we do have some trees like different types of arborvitaes that are multi-stemmed that really don't do well and kind of bend over in that snow. So when you have those multi-stem trees like that, it can be a good idea to take a shovel or a rake and kind of shake off the weight. But in general, we recommend just enjoying the pretty snow on your trees.
Mike, you know, spring is officially less than 2 weeks away, believe it or not. How do you prepare trees for the seasonal transition?
Trees can take care of themselves pretty much as far as that goes. They know what to do every year. So we do quite a bit of pruning and things throughout the dormant season, which is the best time to prune trees. We've been working all through the winter to get things so that the trees are behaving themselves.
So in terms of pruning, why is it so important to do it during that dormant season? And, you know, we're on the edge here of dormancy. So talk a little bit more there about pruning and what we should watch out for.
So, yeah, pruning can be really done any time of the year. An old saying is that the best time to prune a tree is when your saw is sharp and when you have the time. But for the tree's perspective, the best time is when it's dormant. They experience less shock. Pruning is actually wounding a tree a little bit, so you don't want to overdo it. You want to take care and make sure that you're doing your pruning properly. And if you're not sure what to do, contact a certified arborist, and they can assist you with all your needs.
And in Appleton, how do you address pruning when it comes to like power lines and things like that?
So we don't actually do the line clearance. We Energies does they have a contractor that does all their line clearance. We try to help them out as much as we can by not planting large growing trees underneath power lines. So we want to have kind of the right tree in the right place. So we have smaller ornamental trees that we plant in smaller growing spaces like underneath wires.
Brianna, how do you prepare trees for the seasonal transition and the growing season?
Well, once again, sometimes it's hard to exactly prepare trees because we don't always know what we're going to get. March can have us on edge. You know, this particular snowstorm is early enough so that we're not really getting into issues with buds having, you know, enough heat to develop in their life cycle. You know, we measure that by growing degree days, you know, because once those cycles start in the spring, it's really difficult to move them back. When we get things like late freezes, we can have some damage to trees, but we don't always understand and know what that's going to look like because, well, we live in Wisconsin.
And April being the highest severity of tree pollen, what should people think about in terms of factoring in pollen allergies when planting new trees?
Well, I think it's sometimes difficult to, I mean, you may not want to plant a tree that produces a lot of pollen that you're allergic to right next to your windows, you know, something that's going to give you direct wind access to pollen. But I think it's just it can be a tough time for people with allergies because, that's part of the natural cycle. And if you are allergic to it, you know, there's species diversity everywhere. So you're likely to be exposed and hopefully not too miserable for a period of time.
Brianna Frank with us, a certified arborist and tree health business owner. We also have Mike Micklig, Appleton City Forester. Call in with your questions about trees and tree maintenance in your landscape. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Mike, why do trees need people to care for them? Why is it so important to have a city forester?
So trees need care because typically they're not growing in an urban environment. So they're placed in a kind of an artificial environment compared to what they're used to. So a tree growing in the woods will grow tall and upright and have a good strong central leader and grow as a tree should. But if you take a tree and you put it out on the terrace where it's completely surrounded by sunlight and it has to be part of the infrastructure where people are walking and driving and all those sorts of things. So we need to prune trees so we have clearance. We also need to make sure that their structure is good so that they can have long, healthy lives and avoid storm damage and things like that.
Let's take a call now. Bill is joining us from Ridgeway. Bill, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Two quick questions. I'm wondering why trees with a fixed circumference and water in their cells don't freeze in the deep cold of winter. And I'm also wondering if it's too late to prune apple trees.
Bill, thank you. Brianna, can you field that?
You bet. So as far as water in their cells, so they don't have as much water in their cells, but a lot of trees will produce a chemistry that's actually more like, you know, for a tree, antifreeze. So their cells just adapt to be able to handle that, and they and the liquid inside of their cells doesn't actually freeze. And as far as apple trees go, it is not too late to prune apple trees. You want to do it very, very soon. And, you know, depending on what our growing degree days end up being after this snowstorm, I would make sure that I got it in right now.
What are some techniques in pruning apple trees in particular?
So I think it largely depends on what you're going for, what your objective is. If you are a fruit tree grower, your objectives are, you know, as much fruit as you can get and reachability. So being able to get that fruit before wildlife does. But sometimes if you are in just an urban tree owner and you're having a small orchard on your property, you may be fine with donating some of that fruit to wildlife and having kind of a cross between, you know, a tree pruning that looks more like a tree and is more upright versus a fruit tree prune.
Mike, do you have any favorite tips for tree pruning that you'd like to share?
A lot of it, we focus a lot of our care on young tree pruning. You want to make sure that even though a tree has only been in the landscape 2 or 3 years, that they will develop some bad branches and things that are going to grow in places that they won't be able to sustain themselves long term. So a lot of it is structural pruning. You want to have a strong central leader, not too many branches all coming out of one spot, because they are all going to get bigger. And it's a common misconception that the branches actually move up as the tree grows. They don't, just the tips grow. So you kind of got a plan for the long term future of the tree, and hopefully you didn't put too big of a tree in too small of a space.
Keep an eye on that long-term growth. Appleton City Forester Mike Micklig and certified arborist Brianna Frank in Madison fielding all your tree care questions ahead of spring when trees start to leaf out in the weeks ahead. Call in at 800-642-1234. Email your tree health questions to ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is spring tree care season. We're getting tips as we start to check the health and condition of the trees in our landscape in coming weeks as they emerge from winter. Thanks to Maddie and Madison for suggesting a show about trees during a color-only program.
So I'm an arborist here in Madison, and the show topic I had was just about how we can be taking better care of our trees in our urban and suburban environments, and what the effects of climate change we can expect to see in the coming years on our urban trees.
Helen, with your questions and concerns for the arborists as you inspect trees, 800-642-1234. We have arborist Brianna Frank and Appleton City Forester Mike Micklig. Mike, you have decades of experience managing trees. How is the urban environment for trees changing over your career with the effects of climate change?
Yeah, climate change is a real thing. But it's really slow and progressing. So we kind of look at trees as far as our whole urban forest as a group, but then also individually. So we try to have a lot of diversity so that we can anticipate, and we're not, if something does happen, we don't lose all of our trees at once. So we try to spread things out, plant a wide variety of trees, and have a lot of options out there.
Brianna, what are your thoughts on the climate crisis in trees?
Well, I think that we are facing increasing challenges with our temperature fluctuations. And what it really ends up coming down to is, you know, when we start to see problems with trees, it ends up being layered levels of stress. So whether that's, you know, added on stresses from compaction and poor soils or herbicide use, or, you know, maybe an improper planting, not enough water, too much water, early freezes, you know, things like that. I think really concentrating on what we can do to lower those stresses, what we do have control over, like if we're in a time of drought, making sure that we do have proper watering for our trees, and making sure that when we do see an insect or disease issue pop up, that we are addressing that and not just leaving the tree to its own devices.
Let's bring in Rolf in Duluth. Rolf, hi.
Hello there.
What's your question?
I have a question about the trees. I'm driving right now from Duluth to the Twin Cities in Minnesota, and there are, seems like, many trees along the highway here that hang on to their leaves almost all winter. And I live in Duluth. I'm surrounded by birch trees, maple trees. They all drop their leaves, and I have to rake them up. But I'm curious about these trees that hang on to their leaves. Why is that, or is there a certain type of tree that hangs on to their leaves?
Rolf, thank you for taking us along on that drive. Mike, what might Rolf be seeing here?
So yeah, each species of tree is a little bit different. A lot of the oak species will hang on to their leaves throughout the winter. That's nothing unusual. That's just what they do. And then as the new buds come out, they actually push the old leaves off. So you get the opportunity to clean them up twice a year. But so that's a normal phenomenon.
Rolf, thank you. Safe travels. Let's go to Ron in Land O'Lakes. Ron, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. A quick question. I'm up in Land O'Lakes, and we notice every summer that the counties on all the county roads, they cut the trees with a machine that kind of just shears it, you know, shears the trees on the shoulders of the road, probably to make room for the plowing of the snow. But what type of future damage or impact does it have on the rest of the trees and the forest and whatnot? Because typically all those trees, you know, die, but then the next year they cut them again, and it just looks awful, obviously. And I'm just wondering what type of effect it has on those trees, and should we be doing something about that?
Ron, thank you. Brianna, you first.
Well, I don't know that it's, you know, some of the trees behind where they're sawing those trees off shouldn't be greatly affected. But overall, if we're making cuts, we're making heading cuts in poor areas, it's indiscriminately pruning because it's a faster, more efficient way to do it. And there's a required amount of clearance that is needed. So the answer is not a logistically easy one. Because it's true that is not the way that we prune trees in the urban environment, and that is not a way to increase their longevity or keep them on the landscape for the longest period of time. And there may be better solutions to that.
Mike, any solutions there to that indiscriminate pruning?
Yeah, it's not even really pruning. It's more of just a right-of-way management, and they're kind of in a hard spot, kind of as Brianna had said. They have a lot of area to cover, and they want to keep the roads open as much as they can and those kind of things. You'll see that, like with the railroad, their primary function is to keep the railways open. So they basically use a large swinging machetes to prune all the trees, if you can call it pruning, but it's really just right-of-way management, and they are in a difficult spot because they don't have the time or the ability to properly prune each one of those trees. They're dealing with thousands and thousands of them along a right-of-way. So, yeah, it does look bad, and it's not good for the trees, but they really don't have a ton of options.
Ron, thank you. Joan now in Madison. Joan, what is your question?
Yes, I have a maple tree in my front yard that's been struck by lightning. Some years ago, I didn't realize it until someone pointed it out to me. I guess my question is that tree going to die? It doesn't show any signs of it, but you can see the scarring that runs all the way down the trunk to the ground. And this has been some years ago. Am I supposed to have that tree removed? But doesn't seem it's still flower, or not flowers, but leaves out in the spring and everything. What's your take on that? I really would like to know.
Joan, thank you. Brianna, your take on the lightning strike.
Sure. I mean, trees survive lightning strikes all of the time. So I would be looking for other symptoms in the tree to discern whether or not it was having issues with that. So is there dieback in the crown? How did that crack seal up? Does that seal look like it is closed? It would be really great to be able to check out the Wisconsin Arborist site. And on there, we have a search engine so that you can find arborists in your area. You can put in your zip code and press go, and it'll bring up the companies in your area that will be able to take a look at that and let you know if it is or isn't a problem.
Joan, thank you for the question. As we talk about urban tree health with Brianna Frank, arborist and tree health owner, business owner, Mike Micklig here, Appleton City Forester for decades. Call in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Mike, you've said that Appleton plants between 1,000 and 1,500 trees a year. Are these trees in new plots or replacements? What can you tell us?
All of the above. We have a very robust tree planting program where we do have to remove trees, you know, between emerald ash borer and just natural tree death. We do have to remove some trees. So we replace as many of those as possible. And we also plant trees along any new street construction projects in parks. And we have a lot of trees donated to us in areas as well. So, yeah, we plant a whole bunch of trees throughout the whole city.
What are your varieties like? I would imagine you're trying to do a broad range here.
Yeah, so each year we plant about 15 different varieties of trees. They range from the common ones, you know, like the honey locusts and lindens, to some kind of odd things like ginkgos and Kentucky coffee trees, tulip trees, London plane trees, all sorts of different things. Some of the hybrid elms are very successful.
And then do you kind of keep tabs on these trees to see what is doing well in a particular area and what might work to take it in a different place?
Yeah, so we really practice the right tree in the right place kind of a thing. So ash in the past was one of the toughest trees. You could plant them pretty much anywhere, and they would do well if the soil is compacted or it's too wet. Ash could tolerate that. Well, with emerald ash borer, that is no longer an option. So we look at trees that would be able to fill those spaces. And again, we do keep track of it. We have 31,000 street trees that we maintain, and we have a computerized inventory that tells us the last time we were there to prune it, what its condition is, what species it is, and how it's doing.
Brianna, Jim in Cedarburg emailed a question. What kinds of trees can be trained to develop two-dimensionally, and what are the advantages to trees growing that way?
I'm not exactly sure what two-dimensionally means. Is he speaking of espalier trees, I'm guessing?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
So we see a lot of different types of fruit trees that are maintained that way. The goal is really to start training them when they're very young. I have seen things, smaller stature trees like Carpinus trained in that fashion. And really it's kind of picking out, it's an artistic eye to be able to train them to stand, you know, in and be supported by usually a wire or a building or something like that. And then you pick your branches and you design them as the tree grows along. And keep pruning for that kind of two-dimensional effect.
Okay. Brianna Frank owns a tree care company in Madison. Mike Micklig is city forester for Appleton. Call in with your questions and concerns about how to boost tree health, fight invasive pests, more on the emerald ash borer in a moment, and preparing trees for a healthy growing season. The number to call, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So as you shovel out today, look around at trees. Let's appreciate them. Spring tree care season is actually around the corner. Call in with questions for the arborists about tree pests, diseases, pruning. Let's hear your tips for how to prepare your trees for a healthy growing season. The number to join in is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brianna Frank owns Tree Health Management in Madison. Mike Micklig is city forester for the city of Appleton. Let's go to Jim in Eau Claire. Jim, what would you like to bring up?
Good morning. So I have a large linden tree that when the leaves dropped last fall, I noticed in the fork in the trunk, it started to split. Maybe about a 25-inch diameter trunk, and the fork is maybe 10, 12 feet off the ground. Isn't it possible to maybe drill a hole through there and run some threaded rod through it and reinforce that area so it won't continue to split, or is it really a long-term, you know, feasible repair for the tree to maintain its health?
Okay, and you said linden tree?
Correct.
Okay, let's go. Brianna, how about you field that?
Sure. So it will depend on how bad the split is, but arborists do all sorts of cabling and bracing for trees that have kind of that codominant structure where there's two leads that are putting on growth every year, and they have what we call included bark between them, so a fracture is likely. So there are times when trees split that we can actually insert a bolt and also a cable up in the top and do some pruning to reduce the weight on those sides. But you will really have to have that looked at by a professional to see if that is something that can keep that tree on the landscape. And I would recommend doing that as soon as possible, because once you have a tear out that's that big, it's likely a full tree removal.
Jim, does that help?
Yes. Should that area be sealed up too? If there's a repair that applicable to that, you have that exposure there in the bark where it split away, and exposed some of the core. Is it something you would seal up then with tar, or you buy different pruning sealers? But I guess that's my long term question: is it, will it continue to rot out there in that exposed area after this repair, or will it heal itself?
So we do have a saying that trees seal, they never heal. So the tree will try to seal up over the wound. And once again, you'll have to have somebody take a look and see exactly how bad this split is. But once you introduce a wound, then you are correct. It is somewhat of a timestamp on the tree, depending on how bad it is, because it will certainly start to decay, and at what level it decays and how fast it decays is largely dependent on what type of decay fungi might set in, etc. So that isn't always something that right away, but once again, a professional eye is going to be able to tell you if it is a safe thing to do to be able to brace this tree and keep it on the landscape and continually inspect it to make sure that that decay isn't becoming a concerning issue.
Isn't progressing. Jim, good luck. Thank you for calling in. Let's turn to invasive pests because emerald ash borer has come up, but we really want to look more closely here. You know, Mike, the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection says that the emerald ash borer can be found in nearly all of our counties. What's being done to protect native trees from the beetle?
So native trees in woodlands, that's a kind of a different situation than what we have in the urban environment. Woodlots, it's almost impossible to treat, to use any chemicals to treat that large of a volume of a tree population. In urban areas, a lot of it depends on the size and the health of the tree, and individual decisions need to be made on those trees, whether or not they're worth saving. If it's a tree that's not in great condition or in a bad location, maybe that's something that gets removed and replaced with something better. If it is a valuable tree, it's, you know, on the southwest side of your house and you really love the shade, there are options that you can do as far as treating it yourself or hiring a certified arborist and a certified pesticide applicator to evaluate your tree and treat it properly.
And you've encountered this just recently in a city park situation. What happened there?
So there's a park on the north side of town that has a large ash population. Again, it's a wooded lot where treating them is almost impossible physically and economically. So those trees are going to be removed. We are saving as many trees as we can of non-ash species, and then we're also going to be replacing with a wide variety of trees.
Brianna, what do you do with customers who are in this predicament?
Well, once again, it's about evaluating the tree and the customer's objective, also making sure that the tree is a candidate for treatment. So we do treat lots of ash trees, and in some instances, we do recommend removal. And, you know, for folks that haven't treated their ash trees at this point and are calling because they are mostly dead, there's really, unfortunately, not something that is going to be done to save those trees. We need that vascular system in somewhat of good condition in order to translocate that chemistry up throughout the tree. So for most people that have ash trees, especially in the Madison area, are either under a treatment plan or have decided that they aren't going to do that and they are going to replant a different species.
Do the pesticide treatments give the ash tree a fighting chance against emerald ash borer? What are the survivability statistics there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in a treatment that is done properly at the right dosage, you know, we have 90%+ efficacy on those types of treatments. So it doesn't mean that nothing else can happen to an ash tree and that it will be there forever, because it's still, you know, it's still a tree and it's still subject to proper pruning maintenance and other types of maintenance. So it's not like a treat it, set it and forget it type of situation, but we certainly keep lots of ash trees on the landscape that are providing many benefits for their tree managers.
Mike, Trish emailed to ask if the wood from emerald ash borer disease trees is safe to use to burn in Trish's campfires. Trish wrote that they have two trees that will be taken down this spring.
Wood is certainly usable, and it's something that you don't want to transport long distances. As you'd kind of mentioned, that it's emerald ash borer is found throughout the whole state and actually all the Midwest. So when it was first found in like 2002, one of the focus was to not transport infested wood. So you'd be bringing that pest; they would come out of the firewood and then infest that area. But now that it's pretty much everywhere, that concern isn't as great. But you would not want to take that to your cottage up north and leave it sit and allow the bugs to come out of there and infest those woods as well, faster than it would on a normal cycle.
Very important point there. What can be done with wood from trees that are killed by emerald ash borer? I mean, can you put it through the chipper and make, you know, I mean, what can be done?
So, yeah, the use of urban wood is becoming very popular right now. So there are a lot of uses for wood other than firewood or wood chips. A lot of cabinet makers are using this wood. They're making a lot of very attractive furniture, all those sorts of things, flooring, all sorts of stuff. So there's a lot of creativity coming into the market right now where people are utilizing all this wood. Once the insect is gone out of there, it only really affects the outer portion of the tree. The rest of the wood is perfectly fine to use.
Aha. Talking about urban tree health with Mike Micklig, Appleton City Forester. And Brianna Frank is here, certified arborist. You can join in with your tree health questions at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Heard from Mike in St. Lawrence, called to ask about the status of the gypsy moth population in Wisconsin. And Mike has 8 acres of woods and saw them a few years ago, but not since. Any insights there, Brianna?
Sure. So one, we don't call it the gypsy moth anymore. It is now called the spongy moth.
Thank you.
So there's just been a little change there. And yes, we are on an uptick at this point. We saw greater populations last year, and we're expecting greater populations this year. And, you know, spongy moth has always been, it's really hard for professionals to remember this as well. It just changed. It's something that has always been a cyclical thing in the state of Wisconsin. And we had kind of been on a longer hiatus than even usual for the past decade. So now that we're seeing it come again, I think it's more concerning to people because they haven't seen it in a while.
What is the impact on trees?
So they are defoliators. They are the great defoliator. And, you know, one of the biggest concerns that we have is their impact on our oak trees, because we are having so many issues with oak trees and climate change, and, you know, an uptick in two-line chestnut borer, and now we're seeing bur oak blight and rising oak wilt infections across the state. Having this be an additional stressor can be really detrimental to their longevity on the landscape. So, you know, the DNR does do overhead sprays in areas that are largely infested, you know, in our natural areas. And as far as treatments on urban landscapes, professional arborists do those as well. So there's treatments of the BTK, that's the natural soil-borne fungus that is effective against killing the spongy moth. It is very timing dependent, so it has to be done at the right time. We also have other injectables that we can use to inject the trunk of the tree or the soil around the tree that will protect the trees during that feeding season.
Speaking of defoliators, Mike, you know, when planting young trees, how do you deal with deer? How do you protect the trees from being eaten by deer and other animals?
Yeah, so you know, in urban wildlife is a very positive thing, and sometimes they do cause some damage. It's not so much for, in our case, of being them being eaten. They more or less use those as rub locations where they are polishing their antlers when it comes time for their annual season. So we do see that. We maybe have 5 or 10 trees a year. There's not a lot we can do about it. We can't. You can put like a slit drain tile up it, but that kind of looks trashy. So it's kind of tough to manage. Yeah, sometimes you're going to have that damage, but you can protect it. We have, you know, newer trees that we have stakes on to help them support when they're planted. That kind of keeps the deer away a little bit, but they have their mind of their own, so they can pick a tree in the middle of somewhere that you never would expect a deer to be.
Appleton's city forester, Mike Micklig there, and we have Brianna Frank, arborist in Madison. Still time to talk about what might be happening to trees in your landscape, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We delve into all your tree concerns ahead of the change of seasons with Mike Micklig, city forester in Appleton, and arborist Brianna Frank owns a tree care company in Madison. Tom in Whitewater has some issues with catalpa trees. Is that right, Tom?
That's correct. We have three catalpa trees that have been in the family for many decades, and they're pretty much past their life expectancy, but they're still growing strong. However, they're starting to have problems. We noticed two of them leaking fluid during the summer last year, and we just had a tree cutter out, and he pointed out that all three trees have splits about 20 feet off the ground. Two of them have actual holes, and he said basically water is just pouring into there when it rains or when we have snow melt. It's just an open channel for water to come in. We're trying to figure out what to do. He said the two trees on the driveway could be tethered together to give each other strength so the weaker one doesn't fall over if it gets worse. But we need to know, what can we do to plug these holes? What can we do to support these trees? We'd really like to keep them going. We don't want to cut them down, and they are still very much alive.
Tom, thank you. Oh, dear. Brianna.
Well, so catalpas, they're a lovely tree. They're a fast-growing tree. And... you know, we do often see them have different types of decay spots and splits when they as they age. I would say that as far as areas that have cavities where water is collecting, my first concern isn't so much the water collecting as it is the weight of the branches that are that defect is holding up. So it may be a combination for you with metal bracing and some aggressive pruning on that tree to be able to take weight off in certain areas and sustain the tree on the landscape. As far as plugging holes, we generally don't need to do that. Once again, you know, trees are going to seal their internal cells against those cavities and decay spreading. But I would be mostly concerned with just kind of the risk and the weight of those branches on those types of defects. But there is a lot that arborists can do in redesigning for both bracing and pruning that tree.
Tom, appreciate the call. Let's go to Rosella in Barron. Rosella, your willow tree.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. We have a willow tree that's about 4 or 5 years old, and it looks healthy in the spring, but by July or August, the leaves start to fall and it starts to look like it's going to die. So I'm just wondering if you have any ideas.
Thank you, Mike.
So, there's a lot of variability that could be. It sounds like it's going to be a fungal issue. There are a bunch of fungi that can kind of attack the leaves. Maybe try to clean up the down leaves to reduce some of the fungal load that would be there. And try to keep things kind of clean. Without looking at it, it's kind of tough to diagnose something like that.
Is it a reoccurring issue each season like that, Rosella, in late summer?
Yes, we've noticed it for the past 2 or 3 years.
Brianna, any other advice to add here?
I'm going to say that a willow can be pretty tough to kill. And generally, if you are seeing that early defoliation in it and it's leafing out fine in the spring, it's going to be largely a cosmetic issue. So it may just be that you have to, or you accept the tree defoliating at that point during the year. But I agree with Mike that it sounds like it's a fungal issue. So there are some treatments that we do for suppressing those types of spores in early spring. But once again, on a willow tree, I would say that this is probably a cosmetic issue.
Appreciate it, Rosella. Let's go to Dan near Wisconsin Dells. Dan, hi.
Hello.
Hi, we can hear you, Dan.
Yeah, I can hear you. Hello. I've got some apple trees I planted. I got 5 of them. I live on the North Shore, just across from Port Wing. And my problem is when I get apples on them trees, the blue jays come in the fall and just tear them up. I mean, they just destroyed a crop I have. And I was wondering if I got any ideas to I fenced them off. I don't know what to do. I lose them. They come in, they poke holes and everything, you know?
Dan, thank you. Those blue jays and the apple trees, Brianna, you addressed apple trees earlier.
Yeah, so I think that short of sitting outside and scaring them away as they come, you'll want to hang some sort of a deterrent in your tree that is unpredictable. So sometimes those little round mirrors work really well, or some wildlife stores will have reflective ribbon that moves in an unpredictable way and reflects light in an unpredictable way.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that is enough to scare birds away.
That helps us a bit with the woodpeckers. Mike, anything to add there?
Nope, I would agree completely. There's also, I mean, people have, you know, hang bars of soap or things like that. That would help, like, deter deer as well. Anything that is going to either scare them or, like, a fall aroma, something that would make them not want to be there.
Let's go to Rich now in Appleton. Rich, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good, good. I'm calling to find out if you, your guests have a resource as to where to go to find native trees for sale. I know there's a Wild Ones sanctuary here in Appleton, and they have an annual native plant sale, which is great. And I've been there a few times, but I was wondering if there's other resources they recommend.
Thank you so much, Rich. Starting with you, Mike, Rich being in your community.
Yeah. Welcome, Rich. So, yeah, a lot of the local nurseries will have native trees available, and some of them have different cultivars and things like that that aren't specifically native. But, yeah, check out your local nurseries and garden centers. It would probably be your best choice.
Brianna, what would you like to add about exploring native plantings and what would work best?
I think a lot of communities are really good at having native plant sales. So I know, you know, in Madison we have the Extension has a native plant sale, and the Arboretum has a native plant sale. Olbert Gardens has a native plant sale. So I would say, you know, exhausting those resources, because those are as local as it gets. A lot of those native plant sales are you know, harvesting their plants from that community. Which is the best, but we have worked with other nurseries that specialize in natives as well. I know Johnson's Nursery is one that that is great in having those that they grow right in the state of Wisconsin, and also they have a lot of specialist horticulturists on staff that can really help for you to be able to discern what types and how many and things like that.
Well, appreciate you both for joining us. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you very much.
Mike Micklig is city forester for the city of Appleton. Brianna Frank owns Tree Health Management in Madison. And for disclosure, Tree Health Management is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can stream it later on this morning. Go to WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.